We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Once again, a large and enthusiastic audience will answer musical questions, occasionally assisted by John Amis and Frank Muir, and their opponents, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. This first round concerns intruders, odd men out, a list, and one of them is in some way false. John, I think this is rather your type of music. John, which of these four is the intruder? Bruckner's fourth, Roussel's fourth, Rubra's fourth, or Sullivan's fourth?
Ha-ha, Sullivan's fourth.
Pourquoi?
Because there was only a first.
Sullivan did not write a fourth what?
Symphony.
That's right. The one we heard was, of course...
Bruckner.
Bruckner, yes.
He was an odd man out himself. He was very, very naive. And curiously enough, curious connection, Fritz Kreisler, when he was very, very young, was a pupil of Bruckner's. And Bruckner was very, very naive. And he used to have a dog. And he used to leave the dog with the students while he went to have his grub. And one day, they decided to play a trick on naive old Bruckner. So they played one of Bruckner's pieces, a bit of the Te Deum, and they fed the dog liver sausage. And then they played a tune from Tannhäuser of Wagner, and they kicked the dog around and finally chased him out of the room. So one day when they trained the dog, they said to Bruckner, you know, Wagner's music really isn't very good. I mean, even a dog could tell which was your music and which was Wagner's. And Bruckner says, well, I can't agree to that, but how do you know a dog would know? My dog would know? So they said, yes, master, yes. So they played a bit of Tannhäuser, and the dog ran out of the room, barking, you know, ran for its life. Then the man at the piano started playing the Te Deum of Bruckner, and the dog came back wagging his tail.
That's a terrible story. Frank.
One of the byways, you know.
Yes. Frank, a different kind of music for you. Again, which is the odd one out of this list? Carlton Main Frickley.
Hang on.
Do you want all the dictation speed?
Carlton
Main Frickley.
Main Frickley.
That's one.
Yeah.
Hammond's Sauce Works.
Yeah.
Ransom Hoffman Pollard Works. Or Standworthy's Drop Stamping Forge.
I think it's around, don't you?
That's these are industrially sponsored brass bands.
Yes,
but one isn't.
One isn't. That's right. That's the correct answer.
And when did you make up?
Which one isn't? Yes, I made one of them up.
The drop stamp.
Yes, Stamworthy's Drop Stamping Forge is my own invention. The rest are major British brass bands, really. Yes, that's right. You have the mark. Ian, music of a different kind. Ian, those keepers of the peace, four opera titles about people who don't keep the peace, really, law-breaking in general. Which is the intruder of these four? Nothing to do with G&S. Which is the intruder? The conspirators, the robbers, the cloak, the dagger. Now, can you figure your way through that maze? Have you heard of any of them? The conspirators, the robbers, the cloak, the dagger.
I've heard of the cloak, yes. Il Tabarro.
Yes, which is an opera
by Puccini.
That's right.
I suspect that as that is the cloak, that you wrote that down and thought cloak and dagger.
Yes. So I'm going to say that I think the dagger is the intruder.
You're a clever lad, although you haven't the remotest idea.
I don't know the other two.
You get the mark there. The Conspirators by Schubert, The Robbers by Verdi, The Cloak by Puccini, and The Dagger by Race, of course.
So that's the one.
Yes, that's right. The dagger doesn't exist. Dennis, music for you. Dennis Oddman out, which? The Mound City Blueblowers, Johnny Bastable's Chosen Six, the London Symphony Orchestra, and the Manchester Philharmonic.
Well, there's a few odd men. Odd men. The Mound City Blueblowers, I know.
That's we heard then doing there, Hello
yes.
Lola.
Jack right, Teagarden,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Pee Wee Russell
there,
and
think,
all that, yeah. Mm. Outside of the Mound City Blueblowers, I know less about the others than Bruckner's dog.
That's the odd one out, yes. Ian, can you help him?
No, I don't think I can. I'm a little suspicious of the Manchester Philharmonic Orchestra,
well, so
because the Manchester Orchestra is the Halle.
Yes, so you should be. There's a Halle Orchestra. There is no Manchester Philharmonic Orchestra. That's the odd one out.
No, I thought you were going to say that the Manchester Philharmonic was the name of a pop group.
No, I think you lose the mark there. Just some brief opera questions.
Good.
John, where in opera would you find Magda Sorel?
What is my name, Magda Sorel? Hair the colour of eyes, teeth the colour of...
Age 33, that's right.
How is that?
Where would you find her?
Oh, I would find her in the consul by Giancarlo Menotti.
Yes. Or outside the consul's office trying to get a visa. Yes, that's right, yeah. Menotti's the consul. Frank, where will I find One Fine Day?
Well, you'll have to move a bit. Japan? Well, what sort of answer do you want?
I mean, anything will do, really, won't it? We've had our little,
on a Japanese hillside.
We've had our little giggle.
Yes. With a rather vast Japanese lady singing One Fine Day.
Yes, Madame Butterfly, yes.
Madame Butterfly.
Hi. Ian, where will I
Short
find...
Short life.
Where will I find Ian the Good Friday music?
Oh, yes. That's in Parsifal.
Yes. Do you know which act? Matter of interest. You have the mark, of course.
No, I'm not going to hazard a guess.
Act 3, Scene 1 in Wagner's Parsifal. Yes. Dennis, where can I find Isolde?
I know you like to toy with my operatic ignorance, but even I know you find Isolde in a town called Tristanund.
Tristanund. You will. Yes. Yes,
I was tremendously...
One of the places you're likely to find her, that's right.
Yes. I was tremendously surprised to see the title of that opera in Italian outside the Rome Opera House, and it was Tristano e Isotta. One would have thought it would have been Isolda, but it wasn't Isotta, with a double T.
That's right, very nice with chicken.
Well, what about I Maestri Cantori di Norimbergo?
What's that?
Master Singers of Nuremberg.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh. I think it's time we had one of those round the alphabet questions. Starting with John at A, write down your letters, will you? John, you are going to get, just put letters down, A, E, I, M, Q, and Z. Frank, you will get B, F...
Beethoven.
No. Might be articles of food, you don't know. You will get B, F, J, N, R, and V.
J, N, R, and V.
Yes. Ian, C, G, K, O, S, and W.
Beef.
Dennis, you will get D, H, L, P, T, and X.
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 Check.
So, gentlemen, musical instruments. Starting with those letters, beginning with John. A musical instrument beginning with A, John, please.
Accordion.
Accordion, right, good. Frank, B for?
Bass bassoon.
Oh, yes.
Bonus mark, yes.
Ian, C for?
Clarinet.
Yes, that's right. Dennis, D?
Drum.
Yep. E, John?
Simply can't think of one.
T? for two, and you for me, and me for
euphonium.
You. Yes, that was a hint. So we'll see how the others go. I think you might drop that one. Yes, Frank F.
Fipple, flute, and bonus mark.
Oh, yes. No, I'm not giving. I'm not in the mood to give bonuses. Ian G.
Gong.
Yes, nice. Dennis H.
Harp.
Yes. John, it's difficult. There's a group of percussion instruments. It's a way of grouping instruments. It's the only one I could think of. Bells and gongs, things like that, are all something or other. Ophones. I have to tell you. Idiophones, I-D-I-O.
Well, you would have had to, wouldn't you?
Frank, J.
Jew's harp.
Yes.
And it pleases you?
Yes, it pleases me. I was hoping for Jingling Johnny, which is the thing they have in military bands, rather. Yeah. Anyway, Ian K.
Klaxon.
Hmm? Yes, Klaxon horn, that's clever. That's clever, I had in mind. Kettle drum. Dennis L.
Last time I saw Paris.
Yes, yes, that's right. And in...
Liar.
American in Paris, did you?
Yeah, American
in Paris. Liar, yes, that's right. John, M for...
Oh, M for mandolin.
Yes, thank you. Frank, N.
Novachord.
Oh, clever. Yes, that's right. Yes.
What is it? Good.
Ian, where were... Oh, it's Ian.
I'm here.
O for...
O?
Yes.
O Ocarina.
For, O for the wings of a dove, I thought you'd say. Ocarina, yes. Dennis P.
Psalter. Oh, yes.
No.
Yes.
Isn't it terrible to ruin Dennis's pleasure? Because a psaltery is the instrument. A psalter is something different, isn't it? Give it to him.
Psaltery.
John, Q, you've got all the difficult ones. Q for... A five-string viol has this name. You can work out five strings. A Q for?
Quint.
Quint, yes. I'll give you that because you have got some harder ones. A quint. R for? Frank.
Rebec.
Ooh. Psaltery, a rebec. Like, what a tone the programme has taken on. Yes. ENS for?
Slush pump.
Right.
Back to normal.
Or sousaphone.
Yes, that's right. Dennis T.
Or trombone.
Yes. Yes. Yes, thank you. Frank, V for?
Vibraphone.
Yes. We've got some pretty outre ones, haven't we? Lovely. Ian, W.
Oh, it's a pity you got that, Frank, because I was going to say a vibraphone.
Have any of this...
W.
Guards have them.
Guards have them?
Yes.
Weekend pass.
Guards on trains have the...
Guards on... Whistle! I was thinking...
I think we'll drop that one because you didn't get it first and John's dropped a couple earlier on. Dennis, X.
Got four. To be either xylophone or is a thing called a xylo harp.
Yes, there is. That's right. And either will get you the mark and... Z for you, John. Z for...
Aren't there things called zephyr pipes?
Zither.
Zither. Third man theme. Yes, give you that one. Well, we'll see how all those marks work at the end of the programme.
Enjoyed that.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Steve.
Good.
Nice one, that one.
Have you got a spare pencil? I've run out of stuff.
This round concerns piano music. John, you first. A work by a Hungarian composer begins...
Yes.
John, after a lot of very grandiose ensemble playing, there's this. Then. Yes, that's right. What is it?
Oh, it's Variations on a Nursery Song.
Yes, by...
Dohnányi.
Dohnányi, thank you, yes. Right, so this is really the... really the piano music we're talking about. Frank, what is noteworthy, musically noteworthy, about this piano piece, which I shall now play?
It was sort of rather crudely played.
That's right. Played without love, wasn't it?
Yes. non-con amore. Yeah. You were using the raised, darkish ones and not the flat white ones throughout the piece.
Marvellous. Never once took my eyes or my fingers off those black notes, did I? That's right. It was therefore, what sort of a piece was it, John? It was, in a word?
both sharp and flat, which is quite difficult to tune.
Pentatonic?
Pentatonic, yes, pentatonic tune, or on the black notes.
Pentatonic?
Right, pentatonic. Ian, five noted composers did a joint arrangement which they called paraphrases of this tune. Can you give, at any rate, one of the five arrangers involved?
No. It's one of the few piano pieces that I can play. I've always known it as chopsticks.
Well, yes, that's right. Cooey, but under the title of paraphrases,
cooey.
It was... shall we ask the audience, anybody there knows? Who were the composers involved?
I think John has given me one.
Yes, cooey. Yes, that's right. They were Borodin, Cooey, Lyadov, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Liszt. And
really?
They all combined, and they sorted out the performing rights between them, which was quite a problem, and they did this arrangement of chopsticks.
No marks there for me, I'm afraid.
Dennis, listen to this rather taxing piano piece.
He's going through my repertoire.
Dennis, what technical marvel was I about to execute at that point?
At that point?
At that point.
You were going to turn the music over with your nose.
No, I wasn't. No. Something.
Oh, I see.
Most people
think
it's
clever. Cross your hands.
I was going to do...
That's a miracle. It's fantastic, Steve.
Oh, there you are.
Can you do that at will?
Yeah, it just really? It comes easy after you've practiced for quite a while.
You know that they could tell when Scarlatti began to put on weight... Because he stopped ever using crossed hands because he couldn't get them over.
No, I didn't know that.
Fatty Scarlatti.
Yeah, musicology, you know.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
It's marvellous, that sort of remark. I remember seeing Moritz Sillam, who is a very distinguished musician, sitting in a corner at Glyndebourne, turning over the pages of a score and looking at it very carefully, then suddenly going... Only Mozart could have written that.
Several upmanship, isn't
it? Yes. Oh, yes.
Funny, really, you mentioned Mozart, Ian, because he's the subject of the next round, a round of questions about, well, involved in some way in Mozart's operas. John, who are the two characters we hear singing at this point, and in whose praise are they singing?
Bacchus, lebe Bacchus, war ein braver Mann. Viva Bacchus, Bacchus, lebe Bacchus, war ein braver Mann. Und ich frage...
John. They're singing in praise of the god Bacchus.
Thank you, yes.
Booze, drink.
Wallop. Yes. Who are they?
They are Osmin.
Yes.
And Pedrillo.
That's right.
They're the people who pay for the show to go on.
That's right.
So they are.
The Bacchus.
Right. Oh.
Frank, this is from Mozart's overture to the Marriage of Figaro. When it's over, can you tell me how the word overture originated?
The producer of the opera said to the musical director, you know, bung all the themes together at the beginning. You know, the composers bunged all the themes. And while we get the stage ready, it's Over to You.
Oh.
And ever since, it was called Over to You. This was rather fortunate because it also coincided with the word... Ouvert and whatnot, which is the romantic language's word for opening. Is it not?
I've got it earlier than that, but you have the mark. Middle English, said an authority I consulted, from the Latin apertura, an opening.
What is it?
An opening in the aperture.
Now we have the aperture.
Sense.
That's right. It's not the same thing, is it?
Yes. Ian, this is part of a forced march by Figaro. What instruments of war does he say are in the accompaniment?
Mm-hmm.
you and drunk.
You're going to sing along a Mozart.
The
rather quaint old English translation that I sing to that particular aria talks about when the cannon shot are playing, and you don't know, wait a minute, when the cannon, over hills through valleys marching, when the dog day sun is scorching and the big trombones are braying and the cannon shot are playing and you can't hear what you're saying, such a din is in your ears.
That's it, yep. Trombones, mortars, cannons, cannonballs, things like that. Yes. Then it's Mozart again. This lady, you're about to hear, claims to be indisposed. Question is, what is her trouble? Speak if you wish. Dennis, yes. Any ideas, please? No, what is her trouble?
I don't know. Lack of rehearsal. It's a woman playing the part of a boy or a young man called Cherubino, and he's saying, one minute I'm hot, the next minute I'm cold.
Is there anything about that you'd like me to explain or
the hot bit might
he says, is, can this be love? He says.
Oh, I know that song. Yes.
Because I feel so well.
Yes.
Absolutely true. And Dennis has got the mark somehow or other. his side's got the mark anyway. By tradition, this final round offers a song each to our four contestants, and their liquid voices this week are particularly interesting because their songs are all about liquid in one form or another. John, Flow Gently, Sweet Afton would be nice, I think, unaccompanied.
Right.
Flow Gently, Sweet Afton.
Flow gently, sweet Afton, among thy green brae. Flow gently, I'll sing thee a song in thy praise. My mare is asleep by thy murmuring stream. Flow gently, sweet Afton, disturb not her sleep. La 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 la. My mare is asleep by thy murmuring stream. Flow gently, sweet Afton, disturb not her dream.
The bingo calling hasn't hurt his tone at all.
I mentioned liquid songs. Frank, in your case, the water has been infused with tea. Everything stops for tea.
I think this would be better accompanied and unsung. though the factories may be raw... Oh, this is pre-war, isn't it?
I think so.
Yes, it is. It's just my vowels. Though the factories may be roaring with their boomerwacker zoomerwacker weem, there isn't any roar when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. Oh, a lawyer in the courtroom in the middle of an alimony plea has to stop and help the poor when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea. That's enough.
That's enough. Dennis, the seafaring song that Billy Merson used to sing. In fact, I think he wrote it on the good ship. What's it? The good ship. What was it?
Yedula.
That's it.
Bum 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 bum.
Too ready.
Oh, I snapped my. Oh, I snapped my finger. Then I snapped the other one. Ho 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 ho. I don't care if the parents pine. Once aboard the lugger and the girl is mine. Then I slip my sails and sail away. No pirate could be bolder, for where'er I go, I fear no foe. On the good ship Yankee Hickey Doo-La.
D.
Ian, nautical still, what did you espy one Friday morning? What but the mermaid?
Oh, yes. Could you give me a cord or something? that's about right. Like, and a bit of crossed hands.
Twas in the broad... Oh, that's too... Twas in the broad Atlantic, mid the equinoctial gales, that a young fellow fell overboard among the sharks and whales. He fell right down so quickly, so hardly down fell he, that he went out of sight like a streak of light to the bottom of the deep blue sea, singing, "Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Britons never, never, never shall be married to a mermaid at the bottom of the deep blue sea." The boats went out to look after him, and we thought to find his course, when he came with a bang to the surface and sang in a voice sepulchrally hoarse, "Oh, my comrades and my messmates, pray do not grieve for me, for I'm married to a mermaid at the bottom of the deep blue sea, singing, rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Britons never, never, never shall be married to a mermaid at the bottom of the deep blue sea."
I'm afraid it's time for us to reef the mainsail, or at any rate to splice the main brace at the very least. A victory this week for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.